We begin today in 1 Timothy chapter 4, the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4. Our reading is actually going to start in verse 9, but we're going to back up to verse 6 and review some of the points that we've already made about the life and work of a gospel preacher, because that is what this section is about. Beginning in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, and going through the rest of this chapter, and actually into the next chapter, Paul talks about the life and work of a gospel preacher. And we've said that you could call this section Marks of a Good Minister, or Marks of a Faithful Minister of Jesus Christ. Remember that Paul is a preacher of the gospel. He's also an apostle of Jesus Christ. And he's writing to Timothy, who is also a gospel preacher. And so he talks to him, to Timothy, about the work of the ministry. And in these marks of a faithful or a good minister, we find in verse 6 that a faithful minister of Jesus Christ reminds the brethren of things that they know. He said in verse 6, if you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Number 2, a good minister of Jesus rejects fables. Verse 7, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Number 3, a faithful minister of Jesus Christ gets spiritual exercise. And in fact, he puts the exercise of the soul above the exercising of the body. In verse 8, Paul told Timothy, who is a young man, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Now, with those three marks in mind, we begin today by reading verses 9 through 16. Paul continues to say, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers, in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now let's pick up in verse 10 with mark number 4 of a faithful or a good minister of Jesus Christ. A faithful gospel preacher must endure persecution. Notice in verse 10 that Paul said, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach. It is a Bible fact that all Christians are persecuted. Jesus said, if they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. John 15, verse 20. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Every child of God is going to be mistreated, misrepresented, and talked bad about. But this is especially true of gospel preachers. Every faithful gospel preacher will suffer persecution. When Paul wrote the second letter to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, verse 3, he said, endure hardness, that is, endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You're in a battle. You're in a war. So get ready. Things are going to get hard. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, he told Timothy, endure afflictions. This is part of the work of gospel preachers. It's part of our life. Now, on the other hand, preachers who tell people what they want to hear are not going to be bothered much. In fact, they're going to be praised. In Romans 16, verse 18, the Bible says that they use good words and fair speeches in order to obtain favor from people. So preachers that preach to please the crowd are not going to be persecuted very much, if at all. But our Lord said in Luke 6, verse 26, woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. So to be a faithful minister of Jesus Christ, a man must not look for the praise of men. He must look for the praise of God, and he has to be prepared to be persecuted. If he's looking for a life of ease, if he's looking for an occupation where he's going to make everybody happy, if he's looking for wealth and fame and glory, he should not look to the work of a gospel preacher. Let's look further at verse 10, because in verse 10 we also have another mark of a faithful minister. And that is, a preacher must trust in God. Notice verse 10. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God. Now every Christian has to do this as well. The Bible teaches in the Old Testament, in Proverbs 3 verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. This is very important for a preacher. A preacher has to trust in God. He has to look to God, not to his own feelings and to his own opinions. He's not to get up and to preach his own feelings and his own wants and his own ideas. He is to look to God and to follow God's word, the Bible. He has to believe what God says, not what man says. And when man's word conflicts with God's word, a preacher of the gospel has to stand with God. It doesn't make any difference how many people say something contrary to God's word, or how much scholarship a man may have who contradicts the Bible. If a man is going to be a faithful gospel preacher, he has to believe what God says supremely, over and above what man might say. A faithful gospel preacher must trust God's word and be patient. He has to just keep sowing the seed of the kingdom of God. He has to just keep teaching and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he has to wait at times for the results. If he gets in a hurry and he thinks that he needs to try something else besides using the Bible, then he's going to get into trouble. So he has to trust God's word and be patient. He has to trust that God will take care of him. He has to firmly believe in the providence of God. So in verse 10, we find another great mark of a faithful gospel minister, and that is, he must trust in God. Now in verse 10, Paul says something that I do want to spend just a little time with. In talking about the living God, he said that God is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Now what does he mean by this when he says that God is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe? Well, this could mean one of two things. In the first place, the word Savior here could be used in the sense of God as the provider. In other words, it could be stressing the providence of God and not so much the salvation of man's sins. The word Savior is sometimes used in the sense of a deliverer, in the sense of God's general providence, and that could be the idea here. Or it could be that God is the Savior in the sense of salvation from sins, in that God provides the way of salvation for all people. He offers salvation to all. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Matthew 11, verse 28. Paul said that the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Titus 2, verse 11. So, in a sense, God is the Savior of all men because he provides the way of salvation. He offers salvation. But those that believe are the ones who actually receive it. And so, what Paul may be saying here is that God is the Savior of all men potentially, but specially, that is, actually, to those that believe. Now, the next thing that Paul tells Timothy is in verses 11 and 12. He said, these things command and teach. And mark number 6 of a good minister of Jesus Christ is found in verse 12, and that is, be a good example, Timothy. He's saying to gospel preachers today, practice what you preach. Now, it's interesting here that Paul talks to Timothy about a personal matter. He said, let no man despise your youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Now, what does he mean by this expression, and why does he say, let no man despise your youth? What does it mean for somebody to despise Timothy's youth? Well, the word despise here means to despise or disdain, to think little or nothing of. It means to look down on somebody. And in this case, Paul is telling Timothy, don't let anybody look down on you because you are young. The word young in the Bible covers many more years than it usually does in our language today. For instance, Rehoboam, the son of Solomon in the Bible, was a young man when he became king. The Bible tells us that he was young in 2 Chronicles 13, verse 7. The Bible also tells us that when he took the throne, he was 41 years old. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 21. So a 41-year-old man in the Bible is called a young person or a young man. We don't know how old Timothy was. We're told that he was a young person or a young man, but we don't know how old he was. But the point that I'm making about the word young in the Bible is that it doesn't have to mean, and it doesn't always mean, a teenager or even somebody in his 20s or even somebody in his 30s. It can refer to someone who is in his early 40s. Now, what Paul is telling Timothy here was that he was not to let people just look down upon him and think that he was not worthy of listening to simply because he was young. Now, this is a problem that young ministers of the gospel still face to this very day, and it causes a young preacher to feel insecure and anxious. So how did Paul tell Timothy to deal with this problem? By going up to older people and arguing with them? By demanding respect? By telling people, you are going to respect me? No. Paul said, Timothy, don't let anybody look down upon you because you're young as a gospel preacher. And the way to do that, the way to gain their respect, is by your life. People would see Timothy's sincerity. They would see his life. And that would cause the good people to respect him. Now, that takes time. And it takes patience on the part of the young man. But this is the way to gain respect, and it is the right way. It works. Paul said, Timothy, be an example to people in the church. Be an example of the believers. Now, Christians are to be good examples to people outside the church, but this passage says that it's important to be a good example to people in the church. Paul says, Timothy, be an example in word, in what you say, in how you talk. Make sure that you're honest and pure and trustworthy in your words. Be an example in conversation. That means in your conduct, in the way that you live and conduct your life. Be an example in charity, that is, in love. Show the proper respect and love for God and show love to Christians and to all men. Be a good example in spirit, that is, in your spirit. Have a good attitude. Be humble, just, and ready to help other people. Be a good example in faith, a man of strong faith in God, and people will see this. And be an example in purity. And Paul will have more to say about that in chapter 5, verse 2. These are some marks of faithful gospel preachers.